presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Tuesday to you, Brevard County. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida, 165 North Grove Street. Hadn't given that address out in my voice here of late. And let me just start off the broadcast today by saying if you have any needs in your life that we could pray for you about, if you wanted to leave those on our answering machine, we would love to join you in prayer. You could email the prayer request to us. It's either merrittassembly@hotmail.com, or you can reach us via our website, merrittassembly.com. There's a contact us form there as well. And, you know, I don't mention this often. This is a ministry of love for us. And if you would like to, you know, help support the radio broadcast, there's an online donation button that's available. You can, you know, I tell people you can give wherever you are on the planet. You just click and fill out the information, and that donation will show up for us. And so for our folks who've been traveling, it is an option that enables them to continue to support the work of God. So we're really excited. We're going to be in Isaiah chapter 26 one more time today. That's where we are. And so we got a great word to bring to you. Want to say thank you to Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric, 632-9538. Please make sure that is the number that you have. If you have an older number, that will not get you to the authentic, genuine Brevard County Wyrick Air, Heat, and Electric. You want this one, Carla and Dennis. This is their business that they've had in the family for decades. So you want to give them a call, 632-9538. Anywhere in the county, they can get you up and running, whether it's electrically or with heating or cooling situations that you may have. Give them a call and they will get you fixed up. Tell them you heard about them on the Refresh radio broadcast, and that will be awesome. So we're going to go back in to Isaiah chapter 26. We're going to just touch on a few thoughts here from these verses. So let's begin reading in verse number 12. Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. O Lord, our God, masters besides you have had dominion over us, but by you only we make mention of your name. They are dead, they will not live. They are deceased, they will not rise. Therefore you have punished and destroyed them and made all their memory to perish. You have increased the nation, O Lord, you have increased the nation. You are glorified, you have expanded all the borders of the land. Lord, in trouble they have visited you. They poured out a prayer when you were chastening, when your chastening was upon them. As a woman with child is in pain and cries out in her pangs, when she draws near the time of her delivery, so have we been in your sight, O Lord. We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen. Your dead shall live. Together with my dead body they shall arise. Awake and sing, you who dwell in dust, for your dew is like the dew of herbs, and the earth shall cast out the dead. Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. So, first of all, yesterday we were talking, Lord, you will establish peace for us, for you have also done all our works in us. What happens with God is he works in his people, and then his people go to work in the community. So you and I are a walking advertisement for God. We are a walking billboard. We are mobile advertising, if you will. We should be the church on wheels or the church on legs, going throughout the community saying, this is what God has done for me. So to begin with today, I want to ask you, how long has it been since you reviewed your testimony? How long has it been since you have adequately described the work that God has done in you? You see, if you go to a university, most of what you are going to find, there are professors who understand theory. They understand what others have proposed, and you know they will discuss some philosophies and things like that. But they are not necessarily going to be teaching about things that they have personal experience with. Most academicians, if you will, most professors have never actually worked in their field. They just teach that field. And so my daughter one day has a desire to be a teacher. I don't know exactly when that day, but she said, before I go into the classroom, I want to make sure that I have the practical experience that is going to be able to impact the classroom. And so she didn't want to just go in there with knowledge or information or thoughts. She wants to go in there and say, I have tested this. I have seen it. I have proved it. You know, in college, there was a saying that said something like this: those who can do, and those who can't do, teach. And so I want you to know that I'm not here just sharing a philosophy with you. The things that I share with you are things that God has fleshed out in our history and in our life experience. In fact, it was so noticeable at one time that I said, God, since you are making me live out everything that I'm preaching, could I just put in a request that I start being able to teach on blessing for a while? And that season did come. I've shared the year of Jubilee, we experienced a year of Jubilee like we've never experienced it. You know, it became more than just theory. Tithing and giving to me is not a it's not a theory of something that might work. It is something that we live out in our life. God wants you and I. He wants to work in us so that then he can plant us in the community and people can see what God has done. There's an interesting scripture that says that Jesus healed the blind man. And then he said this: don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And it wasn't that he was saying that you aren't going to be communicating what happened to you. What he was saying is the transformed reality of his world was going to be the opening dialogue. You see, a blind man had special garments that he wore. His mobility was hindered. There were things that he couldn't do. But because Jesus had healed him, all of those things were done away with. He dressed differently. He walked differently. There was a completely different persona that he had about him. He was able to function without the dependency upon other people the way he had been before. People were going to see that and they're going to say, what happened? And he said, well, let me tell you what Jesus did for me. So let me encourage you to allow God, like we prayed on yesterday's broadcast, to work inside of you in such a way that it will cause people to say, you have changed for the better. What's going on? So it says, O Lord, our God, masters beside you have had dominion over us. As you're looking at your testimony, all of us have been delivered from different things. And so I want you to get an accurate representation of what that taskmaster looked like in the book of Romans, Paul describes it that we were slaves of unrighteousness. Satan could just drag us and pull us anywhere he wanted us to go because he had the dominion over us. He had the chain, and he just entice us, and we were just led around in circles. And God is described here as the ultimate dominion, but there's a contrast between a dominion where people are compelled to act for the benefit of the master, and when God is in dominion, what he did was he acted on behalf of those who were entrusted to his care. Okay, let me paint that picture for you again. Satan domineers people for his own purposes, and God ministers to people for their own betterment. Okay, completely different results, completely different motives, completely, and one of them has absolute authority and the other one has impure motives. Satan doesn't want the best for you, God does. Satan wants to kill you, God wants you to have everlasting life. Satan wants you miserable, God wants you filled with joy. Satan wants you filled with anxiety and fear. God wants you to have perfect peace. Satan wants you fighting all your battles in your own strength, and God wants you to allow him to fight your battles for you and with you. Completely different kingdoms, completely different mindsets. And so I pray that you would come to this mindset that God is a wonderful, wonderful Lord. There's a couple of times in Scripture, Job is one of those passages, and it says, I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and speak out in the bitterness of my soul. And I remember reading that passage, and God said, what Job was basically saying to me on that day was, God, I could do a better job leading my life than you can. The other night, a couple of weeks ago, my wife and I, we were falling asleep, and Joyce Meyer was preaching, and she was talking about complaining, and she said, it's impossible to pray about something in faith and complain about it at the same time. We need to recognize that we did a marvelous job of messing up our life. Listen, you can mess up a person in an instant, and your sin can change your life for decades, and God doesn't want that. So let's dispel with the romantic notion that we are better at figuring out what is in our best interest than God is. God doesn't want you hating your life. He wants you loving your life. He doesn't want you complaining. He wants you praising. And he wants you to say, God, I've had other things that were in control of my life, and they made me miserable. God, I am much better. I have a much better life as a child of God. Let's wake up out of our stupor in the pig pen and say, you know what, God, my father treated his servants better than I'm being treated, and I'm his son. I just want to go back and be his servant. Let's realize how wonderful our God is. Verse number 15 says, you have increased the nation, O Lord, you have increased the nation. You are glorified. You have expanded all the borders of the land. God is a God of increase, not decrease. When he positions you, when he plants you, it is for you and I to increase there and not to decrease. Now, it is not that our ego and our reputation and our fame, John the Baptist said, he must increase and I must decrease. We increase as the people of God. We want the voice of Jesus, the ministry of Jesus, to increase more and more and more. You know, I preach messages from time to time about the anonymous people that made tremendous differences in people's lives. There was a woman who saved an entire city because she had a conversation with Joab. Joab was sent to destroy a person who had rebelled against David, and they were laying siege to the city, and they were about to destroy it. It was a town called Abel, and this woman said, "Hey, this isn't the reputation of the city. Why are you trying to destroy the city?" And she ended up saving the city. Proverbs talks about a righteous man who saved the city. One of my favorites is the little girl who had been carried off by Naaman as a prisoner of war, and she had become a servant in his house. And she saw Naaman and his leprosy, and she was the one who said, "If you were only in Israel, if you only knew my God the way that I know my God, he could heal you of your leprosy." Can you imagine what it is like to be able to have faith in God to such an extent that you could speak to your oppressor and say, "My God could change your entire future. You wouldn't be living with this death sentence over your head. You would be a." You see, we don't read about what happened to that little girl when Naaman went back, a cleansed and a whole man. But I know what I would have done if I was Naaman. I would have thanked that little girl, and I would have sent her back to her people because of the fact that she was a bearer of good news. Can I challenge you right now to believe God for increase? The way that increase comes, it says here in verse 15, is when God is glorified. Let's make sure that we don't try and steal the glory for ourselves. Let's exalt and magnify God. Verse number 18, I'm not going to touch on the whole portion there. I'm getting kind of short on time here. It says in verse number 18, "We have been with child, we have been in pain, we have, as it were, brought forth wind. We have not accomplished any deliverance in the earth, nor have the inhabitants of the world fallen." And I just want to focus on the latter part of verse number 18 there for just a moment, where Isaiah takes an assessment of the effectiveness of the people of God. And he basically is crying out to God, and he says, "God, we've not accomplished anything of significance that has impacted the people of this world. Here we are, the chosen people of the omnipotent God, the people who have been brought with a mighty hand out of Egypt, the most powerful army on the planet was overthrown in a day, and we haven't been able to accomplish anything of significance." You know, I think that in 2016, it would be wise of us as a church across a broad spectrum, Merit Assembly of God as well, to come to grips with this same reality. And that is this: God, we haven't accomplished enough. You know, the Apostle Paul and the early disciples, it said, "Those who have turned the world upside down have come in to our city. What are we going to do?" That was the type of influence that Paul and the early church had, is that the entire world as they knew it was being touched and influenced by this ragtag bunch of believers who were going forth in the power of the Holy Spirit and with a passion for God, with a burning passion for God. And they were impacting economics. They were impacting government. They were impacting morals. They were impacting the entire spectrum of society. There was a huge percentage of the world's population that had come to faith in Jesus Christ. Here we are in 2016 with more Christians on the planet than there have ever been, and yet we are losing ground. Could we echo what Paul has said and say, God, no matter what we have accomplished, and we have accomplished a lot, there's still so much more to do. God, you can do the impossible. You can do more than what we have seen. Can I get you just a little challenge today to believe, God, that in 2016 you're gonna win more people to Jesus than you have won before because of the work that God has done in you? You're gonna be a walking billboard for Him of what God is able to do. I called saints the trophies of God's grace, that we get to go around and we're like, you know, I preached this message title, so you know, don't think it anything sexist of me, because it's not. We are God's trophy wife. He's walking around and saying, this is what I can do with a broken person. I can make them whole. I can walk in covenant with them. I will bless them. And we need our testimony to go around and say, look, I had another master over me. I had another person that was telling me what to do, and I was miserable. I was broken. I was on my road to devastation, but God has healed me. He's restored me. He's the one who rules and reigns in my heart right now. And we go around and we get to share that news wherever we go. You see, against the fruit of the Spirit, there is no law. Hallelujah. That got me excited. I don't know if it got you excited, but it got me excited. Verse number 20, come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourself, as it were, for a little moment until the indignation is past. For behold, the Lord comes out of his place to punish the inhabitants of the earth for their iniquity. The earth will also disclose her blood and will no more cover her slain. I believe that the day is getting closer and closer and closer where we find that God is not coming out as a silent observer, that he's not coming out and just doing a little work here and a little work there, and he's not, but he's coming out and he's going to say, I've come out to deal with people's iniquity. You parents that are out there, well, rather than me talk as a parent, let me talk as a child. I always knew when it was a good time to find a safe place. If I had done something, I knew it was a great time to find myself in my room doing what I was supposed to be doing. If it was time for correction, my parents took correction very seriously. They wanted us living upright lives. And so as a parent, we looked at we didn't believe in punishment. We believed in correction, discipline, helping our kids to be the best that they can be. And I'm so thankful for each one of those kids, because they have become leaders in their industry, they do their job very, very well. And so I just thank God for my kids and the doors that he opened. But I want you to know that God disciplines those he loves. He's not angry for being angry's sake. He doesn't deal with iniquity because he had a bad day at work. He deals with iniquity because it should not rule and reign in people's lives. God's not, you know, an angry, cranky old man sitting up there that nobody wants to be around. He really wants you and I beholding him in his majesty and seeing that he operates with a heart of love. He is a tremendous and gracious ruler. He is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And, you know, the scriptures talks about a parable who a servant was put in charge while his master went away. And while the master was away, that servant thought, my master has been away a long time. He's not coming back. And he began to indulge himself and abuse the other servants and behave in a manner that was not pleasing to the master because he thought that the master was gone. Until one day the master returned and dealt with that servant for the way that he had treated his other people. I've got good news for you. Jesus is coming again. Jesus is coming again. But when he comes this time, he's not coming as a babe in a manger. He's not coming for us to nurture and care for him. He is coming to deal with the saints, and he's coming to deal with sinners. And the admonition to the saints was this. I want you to come into your safe place, to your refuge, your sanctuary, because I'm not going to deal with you in the same manner that I deal with those who are bound in iniquity. I'm coming, and I'm going to bring correction to them on a global scale. God is not going to wink at sin. He's not going to overlook it. He's coming to purge it. He's coming for you and I. I pray that we will all lose the glossy-eyed deception of sin, and we would come to the mindset that I believe is absolutely essential, and that is this, where we hate our sin. I don't want to make excuse for any sin in my life. I want to bring it to the cross, and I want to ask Jesus to forgive it. I want to put it under the blood. God has something better. Listen, if Satan tries to entice you with a sin, God has something better for it. God has a better offer. Don't buy in to Satan's deceptive contracts. Accept the free gift of God that is available through the forgiveness of your sins because Jesus Christ has paid the price. Amen. Father, be the Lord of our life today. Lord, we've had difficult masters over us. Thank God that you have set us free. May we be evidence of your grace in our communities. In Jesus' name. See you tomorrow, right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, MerrittAssembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to MerrittAssembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.